We're going to start talking today and continue talking on the same theme. The best way I can describe it is, you know, when science started to go look smaller, they look smaller and they found more stuff. The bigger their microscope got, the more powerful they found more things that they didn't know was there. And it's the same thing with the Word and with God. The deeper you go into God, the more I discover of God as we seek Him, it seems like, and you probably know this, the simpler it gets. You know, when you first start serving God, it seems very complex. I remember the first guy when I was about 18, around 18, working late night at Burger King so I could serve at the church, and that I would, I prayed for a guy who was deaf in his one ear, young guy, and he got healed. And I made a convert out of him, and I was so excited. I said, now you're going to be just like me. We're going to talk about tithing. And I started to list the rules that I had been taught about how to serve God the right way. Now, there's standards. Say standards. Standards are not a bad thing. They're a goal to reach to. They're to tell you you're not there yet. Holiness is a standard. It's simply to tell you this is where you're going. Don't quit till you get there. And anointing, revival, is one of our standards that we've adopted here at the Prayer Center. Until we see every little child that comes in to this service or in our presence get completely healed instantly like Jesus did, we won't accept any other path. Amen. The devils will try to wear us down, wear you down, to simply accept an easier path. But this path that we're on is one that costs us. It's a path that says, if you want to get to that standard, you're going to have to lay your life down. Amen. And face your cross every day. Now, some of us will go through certain seasons of our life or certain seasons of the week, usually not on Sunday, but somewhere in between Sundays, where we miss our cross that day. We kind of just, I'll face my cross tomorrow, you know. But if you keep praying, you always come back to your personal cross of laying down the life of your flesh and the desires of your flesh that it has for you. And allowing the real you to emerge. Most Christians will never experience the real them until they get to heaven. But we can experience and walk in the real us today. Well, start walking that way in this world before we get to heaven. Say amen. We're going to start in 2 Peter, chapter 1. So I'm finding the gospel is simpler than what I started out with. And it's a simple truth. Allow yourself to grow into who you are, into who God made you. And put to death, mortify the deeds, the desires of your flesh. When I started out, I wanted to be anointed. I wanted to walk in power. That was my goal. I thought that was a high call. I remember sitting in my room praying one time, and the Lord showed up. And it was like He sat right beside me on my bed, and He said to me, I want you to choose right now. I need you to choose. Will you accept the high call of God, or are you going to be a normal Christian? And I almost said instantly, well, of course, the high call. You know, travel the world, be a mighty man of God, big ministry, miracle ministry, the high call. But before I could get that out of my mouth, He showed me what the high call was. And He showed me a life of prayer, a simple life of prayer, and of laying my life down, fastings, worship, all the tools we teach, but He showed me that glimpse. This is what the high call is. And it was a life of not living for my flesh, but living for Him, for His will, by my Spirit. And I remember at that time I said, God, I want that. But when I look at myself, I don't see how that's possible. Because you ever want something but not want it? You know, like, yeah, I want that, but I don't find it in me to be willing to lay my life down to that extent, to where everything belongs to you. And see, there's a process of growing into God and denying your flesh, your body's desires for you. And there's a process of tackling things one by one that he'll walk with you. And I remember saying to him, God, I don't find it in me to be that man. The man to be the man you're telling me to be for the high call is not in me. I can't find him. But then I said, I'll choose the high call if you help me. And then he left the room. And that's all he needed to hear. He needed me to give him permission to drag me through all this stuff I've been going through. Because to him, he has a plan for you. When we see what heaven's about and eternity's about, this life seems a lot more simpler. You start caring less about yourself and more about his plans for you. The best thing I'll tell you as you go through a trial, whether it be physically, emotionally, whether you're struggling with a sin in your life or an error in your life that you're trying to get through, that you keep nailing to the cross and it keeps pulling itself off that cross. You know, there's a reason why it says daily, because it's not a one-time deal. You got to, you know, what are you doing? I nailed you to the cross yesterday. Well, I'm back. It's like, well, let's go put you right back on there. And you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, even though you may be struggling in those things, the best thing I could tell you was it's okay to take time to walk through your trial. And because when you're going through a trial and you have to endure, one of the prophecies we have at the prayer center is endurance. And I used to think I knew endurance. You know, like you talk to a guy who runs 3 miles and says, boy, I know all about endurance. You know, I ran 3 miles. And then you take him on a marathon. And he's like, well, I thought I knew endurance, but now I know endurance. And then you find out there's guys who run 100 miles marathons. And then you go on one of those, you're like, well, I thought I knew endurance, but I'm still enduring. Well, endurance is something you practice. It's I don't quit no matter how long it takes. We don't let the devil resist us to the point that we change our course or we change our plan. We stay the path that God put us on. And in that time of struggle, it's like the devil puts big muffins on your ears, and you can't hear God. And so that time that you're struggling is when you say, okay, God, tell me. And I don't know if it's the devil. It might be even God just saying, you know, keep going. Because there's times where I talk to God about my situation this season, and he's silent about this season. He doesn't say anything to me anymore about this season. He told me at the beginning, When the trial started, he said, darkness has come to destroy you, but if you just keep going, you're going to prove to that darkness that you rule over it, and you're going to win. And then he's been silent ever since. Every time I talk to him, he talks about the future. I'm like, yeah, that's great. I love it. That's nice, wonderful future. Yay. You know, what about now? You know, silence. If God's not telling you something, that means he's telling you something. Don't change course. I put you on the right course, not in confusion, not in defeat. I put you on a course for you to win. And so don't change course, even if you're frustrated. Even if you think your endurance is about to run out, don't stop. And so I found a lot of Christianity in America comes through the flesh. The relationship with God is built around seeing God through their body, through the eyes of their natural man. A lot of it has to do with experiences. A lot of it has to do with feeling things and being excited about things. But in God's plan, as I begin to see more and more in the New Testament, there's something in here about growing and maturing. See, I can take my son Harrison here and say, Harrison, come here. He's going to come and give me a hug like a good boy. I won't make him kiss me on the cheek. It gets tougher the older they get. Okay, Harrison, go sit down. Okay, now Harrison just heard my voice, and he obeyed my voice. But Harrison is 11. Harrison, come here. Give your daddy a hug. Attaboy. Okay, go sit down. Now see, Harrison's obeying and he's listening. But there's nothing I just did for him or he did for himself that's causing him to grow. He has to accomplish things in his life to grow in his physical stature, but also to grow in knowledge. He has to go to class. He has to learn. And I found a lot of believers start out being taught how to hear God's voice, and they skip the part where he wants them to grow and mature into who they are. And so many of our believers who are walking and experiencing God move through them are stuck and stunted in their growth, in their maturity, spiritual maturity, because they focus so much on hearing God and feeling God and experiencing God instead of maturing in God. So Harrison, come here. That's a good one. Now he's giving me the eye, but that's okay. I don't mind if he's mad at me as long as he obeys. Okay, off you go. See, that is part of listening and hearing, but more important for you is to be pushed into the corner by the preachers around you, by the group you're a part of that says, I'm glad you heard God. I'm glad you experienced God. But are you growing in God? I remember Pastor Dave. I'd watch Pastor Dave and people would come up and they'd say, oh, I prayed for this guy and they got healed. And he'd go, oh, that's nice. Yes, give him a pat on the head. And I got this much money and I believed it in. Oh, that's nice. Pat on the head. And then they'd say, I pray in tongues for 4 hours. Oh, way to go. You know, because in him as a pastor is that push to push us individually into a place in God where we grow individually into our calling and into the maturity of who we can be. Say amen if you're still with me. How many conferences have we attended where we're waiting for the fresh, hot revelation to flow from heaven and Pastor Dave gets up and says, pray in tongues. It's like, yeah, I know. Turns to Romans 8. Stop turning to Romans 8. And he start preaching, you start mumbling, la, 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 I know, I know, I know, I know. Because a good pastor pushes you not only to hear God, not only to experience God, but more important, to grow individually into who you are. And so for a long time, I would say all the words. I heard God in my spirit. I'm growing in God. I'm mortifying the flesh. But as the image began to be clear about what part of us grows, why it's necessary to grow. Because there is preaching out there that simply says, you're already got all of God, so now just walk in it. Now, there is some truth to that. Yes, in your new nature came complete a full package of God's love, a full package of God's light. You don't receive more new nature as you pray more. But part of you has to grow and mature. We've studied that and gone over that. We're going to keep going over that today. And we're going to see how some of it works. I know this is kind of mechanical. The example I give is when I first went to class one day in Canada, they had a class where, a mechanical class for the boys. We go and we sit down and learn how to build things, which I never learned how to build things. So the first thing was, for me, I thought the car just ran on gas, magic. You know, I didn't realize that there's actually science behind a car at that age running, gasoline running a car. There's explosions and all kinds of things, amazing technology back in the day, how it worked. And so one of the first assignments was to take the wheel off of a car and to replace the brake pads. I don't know if any of you have ever done that. Most of us will just take it to someone who does it and say, make it, my brakes are squealing, make them stop. And then a couple hours later, they come back and you got new brake pads. But the guy who did it, he understands. You got to take the wheel off. Well, there's two brake pads. There's like little wires and there's screws. There's parts. There's like parts. The way they taught us was put a piece of white paper down. And then as you take the parts out, put them organized so that you knew how to put them back. Because if you don't, You won't know, you'll be, you know, you put it back together and have a screw left behind. Say, well, I don't know where that goes. You throw it away. It's good enough. It works, you know. And I remember being shocked and surprised at how much simple, practical things went into changing a brake pad, how many pieces were involved. So when I'm talking about the breaking down of who you are, the dissecting it, it's irrelevant to you going to heaven. It's really irrelevant to you walking in all God has for you. Hopefully, it will help us to see why it's so important to focus on the things that cause us to grow, why it's more important to push people, if I say it that way, to preach people, to lead people, to encourage people, to spend their time growing into God, than it is to go out and doing things for God. Because you can develop the ability to hear God as a young child. I want us to be free to go and hear and do and all those things, but my issue is when someone comes and tells me or tells someone I love, you need to stop praying in tongues. You don't need to pray in tongues. You spend too much time in the Word. You spend too much time developing, growing. You need to go out and just go and do. You need to get out there and just let God use you. Now, I'm very content if someone says, don't wait until you're perfect before you start to try to listen and help people and bless people. But don't ever stop doing the things that cause you to grow. Because if you told my son, you don't need to go to school anymore. You're 11. Back in my day, you know, fourth grade guys. You know, this multimillionaire, he has a fourth grade education. And this guy, he runs a company. He quit college. So you don't need to quit school. Go to work. How many would go to jail if you took your 11-year-old and put him to work and took him out of school? They come knocking on your door saying, where's your son? Oh, I got him a job over at such and such factory. They're like, come with me, please. We're going to make an example out of you. Well, we need to do that with some preachers out there. Oh, now I'm preaching mean. I got meanness in me. Even though Dave's taught me love, I still got a mean streak in me. There's preachers out there harnessing people to go and hear God. And what that does is it forces God to only communicate to you like an Old Testament saint. We know that every Old Testament saint that worshiped God called them a father, but he wasn't really their father. They could hear God. The prophecies were so clear and specific. The gifts would work through them. Now understand, the gifts are simply a definition of the Holy Spirit. They're all the Holy Spirit working. But the gifts had to be broken down in the Old Testament, because God had to use specific gifts for specific callings. But you and I are on a path where we will grow and allow the Holy Spirit to work with us in every capacity that it wants to. What a shame to only operate under one part of the Holy Spirit. See, when you hear the word gifts, it means that the Holy Ghost is limited to what he can do through you. Specifically, he's limited. Well, he doesn't want to be limited what he can do through you. I'm preaching now, but just let me keep going. The gifts of the Spirit describe the operation of who? The Holy Ghost. Who is the power behind any miracle? The Holy Ghost. Jesus was the authority. The Holy Ghost was the power. Jesus didn't raise Lazarus from the dead. He was the authority. The Holy Ghost was the power that raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, if I were to be technical, Jesus wasn't even the one who came up with the great teachings, the Beatitudes. He didn't come up with those. The Holy Ghost gave those to him. He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. So that was the Holy Ghost through the authority of the vessel, Jesus. Are you still with me? Well, you are the authority too. You're the authority. But what a shame that the Holy Ghost has to limit himself through a vessel and say, all I have for you is the gift of this. So you're walking down the street, a guy comes up to you and says, I need prayer for healing in my body. Oh, I'm sorry, I only have the gift of this. Can't help you. Go to that preacher. I only have the gift for this. See, that's because you've limited the Holy Ghost to he has to use your calling as the authority to work through you, just like in the Old Testament. Instead of being a born-again believer who's mature, where you walk around and stomp around like Jesus did, and all of the Holy Ghost, where what is your need? Because I'm here to introduce you to someone, the Holy Spirit, who wants to meet your need. I don't know if I'm making sense. What a shame to be limited to one gift. Do you ever, when you start off in Bible college, well, what's your gift? What's your gift? Well, I have this gift, and I think I got this gift, and maybe even more of this gift. And, well, I operate in this gift and that gift, and that's a lot of the language. But that's not God's perfect will. God's perfect will is that all of the Holy Ghost will work through you and through you and through you, and not just for you, but for the person in front of you. This one needs a healing. Let me introduce you to the Holy Ghost. This one needs to be touched in their emotions. That's right. The Holy Ghost is here. See, the definitions of the gifts of the Spirit are the Holy Ghost, but they're broken down because he's limited to a vessel by their calling, because they are immature. Well, let's go there. 1 Corinthians. I was going another way, but this is your fault, by the way, not mine. Chapter 12, verse 29. Actually, we'll start in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. It's very important. You're the body. You are the body. You're a part of the body. No matter where you live, God has you a part of a body. If you're listening to this and you believe you're practicing the message of the prayer center, you're part of our body. Now, did you ever see a man with a finger cut off? Young guy working a saw, zip, done, no more finger. It looks odd without a finger, and it's difficult without a finger, I'm sure. My birth dad was born with no fingers on his left hand. And he still operated and made it work, but he definitely stood out in the crowd. You're a part of the body. You are an essential part of the body. Do you ever, I remember talking, well, God has a plan for you. I can't preach. I'm not supposed to preach. I hate preaching. Well, that's just one part of the body. There's many parts of the body. Many important parts of the reference that the Holy Ghost is making through the Apostle Paul here is the image of your own body. What a great way to let you see how important you are. What's the first thing that happens when something goes wrong in your body? Everything's great, you're living life until one part of your body goes, I need some attention. Do you ever have your back out? I'm not talking bad faith here, but you know, maybe part of you get an ache in your back. The other day I had a nail, my nail was growing into my skin, and it started to hurt, and I'm like, ouch, ouch, ouch. And every time I touched my finger to something, it would send me a signal. Hello, hello. So I went like 3 days, 4 days with my finger hurting. Then it started to turn red. And so I asked my wife, what do you think? And John was there. John's our Mr. Fix-It. Anything you need, we call John. I call it 911 John. My kids are always calling, Uncle John, come fix this. And so he's there, and he says, let me look at it. He goes, oh, yeah, I think the nail has grown into your skin. So he pulled out tweezers and he started to pull on that thing. And I was crying and screaming and everything a preacher's not supposed to do. Pus started coming out, and he's like a doctor. He just started sticking things in there. And I had an infection in my finger, and it hurt. My little tiny finger, just the end of my little finger, the very end, was causing me concern and bothering me. One part of my body. It's all better now. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Dr. John. And so when he says, you say, you are part of the body. You're part of the body. Say, I'm part of the body. And then he says, members individually. So he says, you are, that simply says, you're important to the body. How important? As important as any other part of the body. I don't care if you don't feel it. You are important to the body. Now, verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First, what? Now, I want to stop right there and pause for a second and tell you. This means, first apostle means if there's a war going on, like or a fire. Say there's a fire going on. The first guy in the building to lay his life down, that's the fireman. That's what it means first. Not highest, first one into the fire. Okay? First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. So I want you to see here that he exchanges, it's not confusion. He misses two of the callings that we call the fivefold. Now, if you're with me, let's go over the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. You can mix the order up. I don't care. Apostles, prophets. Now, when you look here, I want you to see apostles. And we go to Ephesians 4 if you want to clarify. But these are the fivefold ministry. Now, for a season, the fivefold ministry thought they were the big dogs. We are God's special vessels. You're supposed to honor us with your money and your praise. We live full time. You guys go do your jobs and bring your money in. It's called job security, okay? These are the guys who are supposed to be under the church, holding up the body, helping the body to succeed, not ruling over the body as kings. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Now look here. After that, miracles. Miracles. Then look at the next one. Then gifts of healings. So he misses, these are what we call the fivefold ministry. What he has done here is replace the gift that goes with a calling. So I can take a teacher and send him off to a war-torn country that doesn't believe in Jesus. And he'll get up there and we'll support him. Okay, we're going to raise money. I need everyone to give me, let's say, $50 a month. Because we're going to send this teacher over to an unsaved nation. So every month we're all, everyone, come on, $50. Open up your purse. Come on, $50 each. We're going to support this teacher. We're going to send him over there. And he's going to get some souls saved. So we get a report back every month. How's it going over there? Well, we're over here and we're talking about Jesus. Good, good. Well, wonderful. We're all supporting you. We're praying for you. Yeah, we're working hard. We're giving 12 hours a day to getting to know people, and I'm teaching them into the gospel. Report, please. How many got saved? Well, we got one kid saved this month. I taught him into the gospel. Okay, well, I'll report to the church. Thank you. We'll check in next month. 5 months later, how many got saved? Well, I got 4 saved. It was hard work. I had to teach him and teach him and convince him and teach him what the Bible meant and teach him and teach him and convince him. After a year, the guy has 12 saved. We decide, let's replace the teacher. And let's send in the crazy evangelist. What's the report? Well, I went out to the public center and I prayed for one blind eye. We got 3,000 saved today. Well, hallelujah. We put the right guy in the right job. Evangelist has a gift to help him to be an evangelist. It's called miracles. Every true pastor has a gift to help shepherd people. It's called the gifts of healings. See, the gifts don't float around. Because this is talking to immature believers. Look at me. When you hear the words gifts, it means that the Holy Ghost is limited to operate in one manner through one person because they limit him. He has to use their calling as the authority, not their maturity. I hope I'm making sense. So he says, third teachers, after that, miracles, which is, you can exchange evangelist miracles. You stick an evangelist, a true-blooded evangelist, in front of an unsaved person, miracles will show up. Whether they're drunk at that night, I've heard the stories of guys preaching, having big crowds, hospital beds and ambulances would come and empty them all out, and that night have a drunken night or live in something horrible. And the next day do the same thing. Why? Because God is using his calling. All he learned was how to let God work through him, through his calling. The giftings, when you hear the word giftings, it means that God is limited. The Holy Ghost is limited to operate one way because that gift goes through your calling. And the gifts of the healing. Then I want you to see a little comma there. In my Bible, there is a comma. Is there a comma in your Bible? Not a period. So there's more callings than the five callings. Apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor. But there's more. Now I'm reading out of the New King James. And it says, helps. We know that means usually the financial guys. Administrations, that's the governments. That's the guys who help organize things. You know, that calling of governments is just as important as the apostle. And then variety of tongues. If you're an intercessor, I believe you fit right in here. If you are, it goes on to talk about the different giftings of speaking in service, a tongue with an interpretation. And this is not talking about your personal prayer language. Now, then he goes into some rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? That's the question. Are all of you apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Now, why does he use that? Because a teacher can go and try to believe God for miracles. An immature teacher, let me put it that way, can try to believe God for miracles, but he has limited God by his calling. See, the goal of maturity is that when we mature in our spirit man, renew that spirit man to the place of dominance in our life instead of our flesh, do you know that the Holy Ghost is unlimited to what he can do through you? No matter what your calling is. Yes, your job will be the same. You're still called to be a teacher, but the authority that God can use to operate through you goes from being your calling to being you, the maturity that you walk in. And he calls it love here in the next chapter. Love in the next chapter means the maturity that you allow your new nature to overtake and renew your spiritual man. And the mortification of your flesh. If you do that operation, eventually you're just going to be one big walking piece of love. Love is holiness. Love is maturity. Love is kind. We'll go into all that. That is because that's who you allow. That you have taken from the new nature. You partake from the new nature and bring it into your spirit, man. And you grow and mature. And one of the cautions I have for the body of Christ today is go out and do good works. Go pray for the sick. Yes, go, but don't leave them worse off. Pray for them. If it doesn't work, I know we want to be faith and say it will work, but chances are it's not going to work all the time. Because if you watch enough of the YouTube videos, you'll find nice little miracles, but we don't see any crippled kids, very many crippled kids instantly heal like Jesus did. We don't want to lower the bar to make everyone feel safer and happier. We want to keep the bar up there. God's perfect will, his plan for his body, is to transform and change and take the people of this world and harvest them into the kingdom through the power of God, through the miracles as a sign, and through the touch of God. We've taken away God's power and we replace it with feelings, his presence. laying in my bed after I suffered the attack of the stroke. I had a very nice man come pray for me. And I'm telling you, the presence of God was so wonderful. But nothing happened physically. I'd rather be physically changed than feel good at the moment. You know, I knew God loved me, but I had a need. You know, and so I like his presence, but his presence does not replace the power. Walking in power. Am I still okay? You still love me? Okay. Are all apostles, verse 29? Well, no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Now remember, he's talking to an immature church. This 1 Corinthians is a book to the leaders of the church because they're stomping around walking in gifts, and the power of God is individually walking through them, and they're treating the people like they're special. In chapter 4, I believe it is, he calls them, you're walking like kings, you're acting like kings. And that's not what we're supposed to do. So look here. Do all the gifts of healings, do all speak in tongues? Well, this is not talking about your personal language. Do all speak in tongues? We see later on there is a tongue in chapter 14. There is a tongue for a service in public where someone comes out and goes, gives a tongue language that no one knows what it means, but it is a tongue made for the service, for the crowd, because someone else has the gift of interpretation. And we had one pastor one time, and I was not the senior pastor at the time, but the senior pastor allowed this associate pastor to do it. I would have shut him down immediately, but he'd wait until the worship was just sweet, just gentle, you know, like the worship time. And then he'd get up and grab the mic, and he would give a tongue. And the way he would give it was so loud and forceful that people would be in intimacy worship. All of a sudden, they'd be like cold water on their face. And he'd give that tongue, and then he'd look around for someone to give the interpretation. And all of us would drop our heads. Because I didn't hear nothing. And so eventually, he started to interpret his own tongue. Because he, you know, it wasn't God at all. It was just him trying to, whatever, you know. But there is an actual gifting, calling for a tongue for a service here he's talking about. But it's only good if there's an interpretation. Now that's for the service. That's not talking about your personal prayer language. Say amen if you're still with me. So there's a tongue in heavenly language and there's a tongue in known language. Right? So look here. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? He tells you there's two right there. Tongues, interpretation. Heavenly language, understood language. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So until you get to where you're mature, walk in your gifts. Allow God to work through you. But you're limited to the gift that goes with your calling. But go have an effect on your world while you grow. Don't stop growing because there's a more excellent way for you to live and for the Holy Ghost to work through you. Man, if I had the gift for finances, I would be such a happy man being able to bless. You'd all have new cars, let me tell you. Pastor David roll up in a Rolls Royce. We'd have gold chandeliers. I don't care. I mean, we would make this place shine. We'd have spotlights going on. And I would love the day. You know, I don't care if I drove a little beetle bug car, but on my past, they would be the man, you know. But I'd hate the day that my child was sick and I reached into the Holy Ghost to grab some kind of healing gift, some kind of miracle, and all I kept pulling out was money. See, because you're limited in immaturity, the immaturity of your spirit, your immaturity limits the Holy Ghost to what he can do through you by your calling. Every time I reach in the Holy Ghost, I keep on my, I don't want any more money. I want a healing. See, but there is a walk with God for you individually where the Holy Ghost can operate completely, fully through the authority not of your calling. The job of the calling always sticks with you. But the authority that he uses to operate changes as we mature. If you're still with me, say amen. Now, I want to jump down real quick to verse 11 of chapter 13, then we'll come back. I wasn't meaning to preach this, but we'll just go with it. When I was a child, say child. He's looking at the preachers, the apostles of that church. He's saying, he looks at him in the eye right now. So look at me in my eye. Everyone look in my eye. I'm going to look at the camera. But he looks at them right in the eye, and he says, when I was a child. And he's looking at them, the preachers, the leaders of the church. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. See. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, this is the Apostle Paul telling them, all that God has done through you is mixed with childishness, with immaturity, with selfishness, with greediness, with being kings and not being a servant. It's all immaturity. But God is still working through you because he loves the people you're standing in front of you. But he's not using you as the authority. He's using the calling, and that's why he's limited by a gift for you and a gift for you. The gifts don't shoot around. One day it's yours, next day you get something else. The gifts go to empower the calling so that God's purpose can still go forward. That's why you can have a totally immature, selfish, ungrown man stand up, I'm not talking about myself, stand up in front of a crowd of unsaved people and have miracles. And then all of a sudden, right when the anointing's just flowing, stop the crowd and say, how many would like a new house? Give me $1,000. I pray, my favorite one is, I prayed and asked God to give me 10 people to give $1,000 today. Where are you? Which ones would do that? And I thought, well, if you ask God and he said he'd do it, you don't need to say that. Why are you even announcing it? You know? And then they pull all this money out of the crowd. How do they do that? Because they're walking in the giftings. Their immaturity forces God to work through them and allow their calling to be authority and not the maturity of their spirit man. So when I was a child, verse 11, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but then I became a man. I put away childish things. When you grow up, you take responsibility, you put away childish things. Now my son's still 11, so I allow him to do childish things. And he gets in trouble once in a while, which not always too bad. I like a little trouble, but don't tell him that. But I expect him to be different when he's 22 than when he's 11. I expect him to take care of his own business when he's 22 than when he's 11. But when I became a man, he says, I put away childish things. I want you to see, he's saying that all that he talked about in the giftings was God having to work through children. Even though God was working, he's working through children. Well, I'm 48 years old. Am I a child? You can be in the spirit. Your spirit man can grow as a child and still be an infant if all you do is get busy for the gospel, doing good works for God. We have two flows that I'm concerned about that I tasted in my earlier days. The one flow is the building people, that's what I started off in. Let's get busy and do good things for the gospel. So that's all we do is build things for the gospel. Go out and come up with plans. How do we touch the world? And we do good works for God. That'll take all your time. The other ones are the ones who seek an open heaven. I'm not trying to belittle the way they word it, but they're seeking an experience from God. God coming from heaven. Let me just be clear. This walk of the Spirit is God working through you, not coming from heaven to touch the people around you. Yes, it's all God. And all the power is God. Everything's God. Even your new nature, the ability to grow in God comes from God. It's none of it. You can take no credit for it. But let's be clear. He wants you to walk around wherever you go, not in a service, but in the mall, wherever you go, and be available for God to work through in all capacity. The Holy Ghost is a power, but there is a maturity that we can grow in that only comes from the spirit man. For now, verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. But then I shall know just as I'm also known. So now I look in the mirror. The mirror is the Word of God, I like to say. But I look in the mirror and I see a reflection of myself. So as a child, I look in the mirror. Now listen to me. As a child, I remember going to Nicaragua and preaching, and a little lady brought a baby for me to pray for. And I remember in the heat of Nicaragua, praying for that baby, I can feel the fever. And I prayed every bit of faith in me, and I had to give that baby back to the mama sick. And I would like to be a good preacher and say, well, God healed the baby later. I'd like to be a bad preacher and say, well, the mama didn't have faith. But when I talked to God, I said, God, I know it's not you. I'm the one responsible to represent you, but it didn't work. And he said, I said, why didn't it work? And here's what he said to me. Too much Alan in the way. Now, he wasn't talking about sin. He was talking about Alan. This body. Too much of Alan in the way. And I knew immediately what it meant. I said, God, I don't want that to ever happen again. I'm going to do whatever it takes to never have that happen again. And this is the imagery. As a child, I look in a mirror. The mirror is the Word of God. I see my reflection in the mirror. But it's dim. It's foggy. Why is it foggy? Why is it foggy? Because the flesh is between me and my reflection. I look through the mirror and I see reflection back, but there's too much of my flesh standing in the way. But when I become mature, then it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, when is then? Not heaven. Then is when you mature. Then, face to face. I will see myself face to face, who I am now. The mature spiritual man looking back at a mature spiritual man. This is still Jesus, is all that Jesus has made. But I can see myself face to face because the flesh, well, you can't be mature in the spirit and be mature in the flesh. Let's be clear. You can't have one or the other. You can't have both at the same time. You cannot be mature in the spirit and have full-blown flesh running around. It's very simple. You get to choose each day and grow each day or not grow. But then face to face I will see. Now I know in part. Talking about as a child, I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. In other words, I can ask God today, who am I? He goes, oh, you're my beloved son, I love you. I don't know what you're looking at, God. Because I look in the mirror and I see all my faults, all my struggles, all my problems. But God keeps telling me he loves me. Never have that? But see, when you mature, you go, oh, now I know what you're talking about. He knows me for who I'm going to be. He doesn't look at my flesh because he's not the father of my flesh. I'm still responsible for that sucker, but he's not the father of it. Not the author of it, not the father of it. But he is the father of your spirit. So let's go back real quick. 13. Well, we'll go back to verse 30 of chapter 12. Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? So say tongues. So say heavenly tongues. An unknown language for a service. Do all interpret? Say understood language for a service. So do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of man and angels. Now, here I want to say that he is describing the tongues we just talked about in a service. Even though you're in a service and you have the gift of the tongues and you have the gift of interpretation, so everyone goes, wow, that was really good. You spoke for God. God used you. Wow, that was awesome. That blessed me. But have not love. This isn't about, I love you. This is about the authority that God used for you to do your calling. If he had to use your calling as authority because he could not find enough maturity love in you, then it says you become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. See, he's simply saying, yes, the church world can go forward as immature children, and God will work through us through his gifts and his calling that he placed on you. But if that's where you live for your whole life, you don't get credit for moving mountains. You don't get credit for great revelation, because all that is received from him. That came from him. He gets the credit. You get to heaven and say, God, I prophesied, I moved mountains, I built this, I won this many people. He said, well, actually, got to be honest with you, that was me. It didn't cost you anything. Yeah, but I worked hard for you. Well, everybody in the world, most people work hard every day. Even the unsaved people work a job every day. So that's not special. I did that through your calling because you're too immature for me to work through your matured spirit. Because that would have been love. Love would have been the authority instead of your calling. Making sense, okay? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, so I can be a wealthy man and give all my goods to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I can go to the extreme of because remember, your flesh understands religion. I can go to the extreme of laying my life down in the name of God, but if it wasn't authored by love, then it profits me nothing. God, I went to this country and they burned me at the stake and I didn't deny you. Yes, that's good, but I was not able to work through that nature, matured spirit of love. I had to work through your calling. Thank you for doing that. But I did all the work. You still with me? Love suffers long and is kind. Now he tells us the standard. Now notice the standard is not the miracles. It's not the crowds. It's not the revelation. It's not the hours of prayer. It is the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Pardon me? Love. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the first fruit that comes forth from your spirit. You reach into the new nature and you put it into your spirit man and it grows. You reach into your spirit, your new nature. You partake of that new nature. You reach into it, you pull out love, and you practice it and you grow in love. You grow in maturity. And eventually it is who you are. And you, at the same time, you're mortifying the flesh. You're not who I'm not who you say I am, flesh. Shut up. I'm going to not just deny you. I'm going to start to kill you and make you live under my feet until the day you're replaced with a new body. Still with me? Say amen. Amen. So now he tells us the standard. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Now he's talking here also, if you want to be honest, about walking together as a body. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Boy, this love. Love never fails. Not love that I love you won't fail the person I'm loving. Love never fails you. This walk of maturity will not fail. You will finish your course if you take this course. If you take this path, you'll finish your race. Love will not fail. Verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, now he's talking about the giftings here and the callings, whether they're prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. What is he saying here? He's not talking about heaven. He's talking about the operations of the giftings will cease because you've matured. Now he can operate through you in entirety because he's not limited to your calling to work and I can only give you one gift. Now all of the Holy Ghost can operate through each one individually no matter where you are. Because God wants to touch the people in front of you and not limit it by you. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. See, when we're in heaven, it's not that there's no knowledge. Where am I? Well, you're in heaven. Heaven. You know, he's talking about the operation of the Holy Ghost through his people can change from an Old Testament saint to an immature Christian to a full-grown, mature, spiritual man who's mortified his flesh, then it's unlimited what the Holy Ghost can do through you, no matter what your calling is. The job will always be the same. Your calling will always be the same. He'll keep working you towards your calling, but the way that he can operate through you will change. It'll go from giftings to love. Are you still with me? Your calling is the authority. But as you mature and I mature, love becomes the authority. The nature, not the nature, how much of the nature you have brought into your spiritual man and how much of that flesh has been put down under your feet. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Why? Because we're children. He can only do this in part. In other words, God is limited by our immaturity. But when that which is perfect, another word for that word perfect is mature. But then when that which is mature has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. So now we're in part because we're children. He is limited by what he can do. He's been taken apart. The Holy Ghost has been taken apart and placed into giftings because we're immature. But now that we're mature, when maturity has come, when we become perfect, mature, then that which is in part will become complete. Then he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I no longer have to be, God no longer has to use my calling as the authority because I'm no longer a child. But in the meantime, while you're a child, don't be afraid to let God work through you. But don't live there. That's the message. Don't live in immaturity and think you're great. Look, God, use me. Entrepreneur will come up and say, hey, I gave $3.9 million to the gospel last year. How much did you give? Well, if you had faith, you'd give like me. Look how God's blessing me. Child, gifting. I get more credit for my dollar that I gave than you got for your $3.9 million. Because you can give all your goods to feed the poor. It's not going to profit you anything when you get to heaven. God did all the work. Gave you the calling and the gifting. What he rewards here is the mortification and the maturity. Evangelists get up here. Well, on the way to church, I stopped by Starbucks, led three people to the Lord today. How many people do lead to the Lord? Did you even try to share Jesus with anybody? You feel like a sheep eating dog, as Pastor Day says. I'm such a failure. Listen, you have a specific calling. And when one part of our body is not mature, not complete, when one part of us is broken, he wants you to understand, he wants to bring healing to you. He wants to bring growth to you so we can grow together individually so we can act as his body corporately. For now I see in a mirror, verse 12, I'm closing here. As immature Christians, we see in a mirror dimly because you're in the way. Your body is in the way. Your flesh is in the way, the ugly old flesh. But if you keep praying and fasting and worshiping, I never knew all the tools that Dave hammered in us over and over were that important. But my Lord, the more I seek for bigger things, God keeps pushing me back to the little things. Yeah. I want to see revival. Let's go. Let's go. I get excited. I hear something going on in some country. Yeah, let's go. Let's go. And God says, sit down. Keep praying. Well, I want something new. Hello, 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 hello. Why is it not answering me? Isn't it time yet? No, keep doing what I told you to do. He doesn't put us on a path to fail. He puts us on a path to victory. For now, we see in a mirror dimly as children. But then, when I am fully mature, love is who I am. Face to face, I'll see myself the way God has always seen me. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. We can win the world in faith to a certain degree. We can touch the world with hope to a certain degree. But let's be clear. Love is the greatest way for you to fulfill your calling. Amen. You are released. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.